Welcome to GLHF, the world's first podcast in video games. Today on the wreckage of the Nostromo.
The Nostromo. You're not doing a voice this week, I noticed.
Well, I think...
There's not... voice for the
Xenomorph
creature?
Is very misunderstood, I think. Like, I think if people just got to know her, maybe she would be normal. I think that's my headcanon. So I just thought I'm going to maybe humanize her a little bit. Not humanize, she's an alien.
Okay. I'm going to unhumanize my character because people like him don't need to be dehumanized, in my opinion.
White guys with glasses.
So I'm going to... Exactly. Yeah, I'm going to try to root it up on this ep, just so you know.
You're named Dwight, too. Like, they made you... You're a very stereotypical nerd. Except, like... I don't... You almost look like you could be the kind of nerd that, like, takes off your glasses later in the movie and becomes handsome.
Oh, like Princess Diaries.
Because, like, yeah, you're... build in your head almost looks like you could be a Chad if you tried.
This is crazy because we started the last episode talking about how hot Granny was, and now we're talking about how hot Dwight is.
Well, I didn't quite want to say that. I was trying to come up with other words.
Well, you know, it works.
Your tie's very
you look
skinny.
Lovely too, alien.
Yeah, I look like a freak. I think because you sent me a screenshot of what I look like. Also, by the way, genuinely, like, did not fully realize how horrifying Granny looked in the last episode. I was
really scary.
Watching a little bit of that episode, and I was like, wow, you just sat and talked to me for an hour looking like that.
Staring directly into those eyes the entire episode. And I stayed focused. I stayed focused.
You did. You really did.
It's difficult, but I did it. So, this is the last episode that's going to come out before Halloween, right?
Yeah, I guess. We'll call it the Halloween special.
I know.
This is the last one of October.
The Halloween special. What kind of candy will you hand out at your house?
I don't know.
You haven't thought about this yet?
I can't remember. Like, you know,
like
I might
apples?
Have already bought some. Usually I may, because they have, like, the variety bags. I usually get the ones that are, like, chocolate peanut butter themed. So, like, Kit Kats, Reese's, Twix, because those are the things that I like.
So you gotta you can munch on them while the night goes on.
Right. Well, happens to the Halloween candy is, like, a lot of it gets eaten before Halloween night even happens.
Now, was this true, like, when you were young and you went trick-or-treating? I assume you did. Maybe not. You would have wanted to receive?
Yeah.
Like Kit Kats and
so they say
Milky
be the
Ways
change
or whatever.
You wish you could see in the world. That's what I'm doing.
I agree totally. I agree totally. You're not going to hand out full-size, king-size candy bars? You're not going to be that person?
No, that's just absurd. I'm sorry.
I think every neighborhood needs to have a house that does that. Because I never got to have that
even
as a kid.
Like,
I remember...
Gosh, you would have to have freaking boxes next to your front door. I guess it depends how many kids are coming over.
Yeah, well, how many do you think? Do you think anyone's ever guessed? Like, what's the average? Like, in a really busy neighborhood, you're probably getting, like, 30 groups in an hour, maybe. Like, really busy.
Yeah.
So let's call it 100 kids an hour. So that's 100 king-size candy bars. Each one's, like, what, $2 over the course of maybe 2 to 3 hours. So you're probably going to spend, what, $800? On candy bars.
Jesus.
To give them all out.
This sounds like elementary school
it's basically
math
nothing.
Problem.
Yeah. Now that I've actually said it out loud, it's a significant amount of money. I didn't really think about that.
When do kids learn
I wanted to be that guy.
Now I'm thinking. When did I learn
second grade. I remember very vividly. Second grade. We're doing
you
their multiplication tables.
Second grade?
I think so.
That seems young, no?
Does that seem early?
I mean, kids can do it. Kids are smart.
Well, I remember by fourth grade, I was learning, like, algebra. But that was in, like, one of those funny classes that they send you away if you, like... Well, I don't know why. They said it was if you were too smart, but I think it was because I couldn't pay attention. But then I guess we did algebra.
When do
so
kids
know,
learn multiplicate?
But...
You know, this is all just
yeah,
so
Google
far
this,
behind
would you?
Me because
there's
I'm such
be a teacher
genius,
in our
I don't
audience.
Even remember. Yeah, second grade. Yeah. Or,
There you go.
Second or third. I'm getting some results from Canada, so I'm not sure if I should trust those.
Yeah, they're a little delayed up there.
But second
they,
or third
they take
grade.
A little longer.
I guess that makes sense. And you just memorize the table.
Because when do you learn adding? You know? like basic adding, you do it in kindergarten when you like they give you a tub of tiny little like rubber bears and they go, how many bears is
and
you figure it out.
The little, I guess I was pretty young now that I think about it, because I remember learning math with those little cubes, little tiny cubes, and you would make like a bigger cube out of the littler cubes, and that was multiplying. Yep. Okay.
That's how we learned.
That's so true. I loved those things.
So, and then by like sixth grade, what is it? Geometry? Who even knows?
Well, you know, I was on the accelerated timeline, so all my stuff's all messed up.
Did you ever skip a grade?
I...
Because that's a crazy thing, but we knew people who did, but I never did, obviously.
I technically... I've been told I started kindergarten early because they have different rules in different states. And just where my birthday falls is kind of weird. Like, I would always turn the age I was supposed to be in the grade while I was in the grade. So I was just, like, a little bit younger than everybody else. But because we happened to live in Michigan for a brief period when I entered kindergarten, I was allowed to enter kindergarten at 4 years old. But I didn't skip a grade. But I was just a little bit
younger. A little bit younger, so you learned a little bit quicker. Or like relative age-wise. So like 6 months ahead, maybe 10. Yeah. Well, congrats.
Thank you. You know, kindergarten, me really needed to hear that.
Yeah. We're healing its inner child, you know, it's important. That's kind of why we do the pod, I feel like. It's mostly to work through these types of things.
For sure. And also, I know you're dying to hear updates about what I had for lunch just now.
That I wasn't going to say it, but ever since it was like yesterday morning, I started thinking about it. I was like, I'm so excited to hear what she's going to have for lunch an hour before the podcast tomorrow.
Because I would like to announce to everybody, you know, I went on a little
rant. Can I guess? Cheese sandwich.
Cheese and?
Yeah. Isn't there, I should know this, right? Isn't it like pizza rolls or ham
egg
and cheese,
egg and cheese? Egg and cheese. I did a big rant about cheese.
I assumed it'd have to be something different because you're bringing it up, but okay.
Well, I'm bringing it up because
I assumed it was going to be like an evolution.
I didn't tell anybody that my egg and cheese era ended for a little bit and now it's restarting. I just know everybody would really want to know about that.
You're like, I have to let everybody know that I didn't tell you that this was happening, but I want you to know that I'm eating egg and cheeses again. And you didn't know I never wasn't, but I wasn't, and now I am again.
You know why I stopped?
What were you eating? Yeah.
I stopped for a while because whenever we had the pod where I was like talking about how much I was loving eating an egg and cheese every single day, I actually was eating an egg and cheese almost every single day for lunch for like 2 weeks. And the farts were diabolical. Like after 2 weeks straight of that, it put me off of them for a while because I was like, I'm having like straight up egg farts, like eating two eggs every day. But I feel like, is that a problem with me? Because people eat eggs every day.
I'm sure that the thing with the body is it's a complex system of so many different variables. And maybe egg and cheeses is good for one person and not good for another. And that's okay, you know? Maybe it depends on but you're eating them again.
Right,
that's the important thing. We're back.
I started
didn't really
back
connect
up.
That, but
so it might be the there kind of thing where it comes and goes in phases. There was some kind of like sulfurous reaction happening in my body that was not good. And just like,
yeah, well, it might matter what else you're eating, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe somebody let me know if there's something, you know how you can like, put out fires with some kind of powder. Like I need the equivalent of like whatever the powder is that will like quench the sulfur reaction that's happening that's creating the egg farts. So like if there's something
that we're running with this, there's a sulfuric reaction in my gut. Maybe it's probably just like talcum powder, right? Just like eat a bunch of talcum powder or something.
I don't know.
Maybe
are you a chemist?
Fiber?
I don't even know what talcum is.
Not a chemist, no.
Blowing my mind right now. What the hell is talcum?
It's like what you put it's just like little tiny plastic rubbery pellets, like kind of like chalky. It's used to just like dry things out.
I should eat.
So I'm figuring
plastic.
A few.
Plastic. You're so right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you have to make sure they're small. You don't want macro plastics. You want the other kind. That's like the good one.
Right.
That'll make you feel better. And it will help with your issue. So it's... I'm glad to hear that the egg and cheese is back. What were you eating? Did you just not eat then? Was that what happened when you weren't eating egg and cheese?
I have been buying a lot of food from restaurants, unfortunately, and I'm trying to be better about that. Because
it's interesting.
It's so much money.
This has been... It's a problem because it's so easy and so delicious.
Yes.
And if you technically have the money...
Then what's the issue?
It's so easy. Just yeah, it's like, what's the problem? Why can't I just get food?
You're not helping my case.
And given to me every single day.
I just suffered
it's
through
tough.
This egg and cheese when I could have had a delicious meal.
I know. And it's wild. It's like, what's the argument against it, right? It's like
you're helping a restaurant
stay in business. If you tip well, it's like the DoorDash people prefer it's good because those tips go to them. So it's like, you know, they get a benefit that way.
No, I don't do DoorDash.
You get delicious food. How do you do it? You just like restaurants that deliver in-house?
I drive my car there.
Oh, then what's the point? Just eat an egg and cheese then. I'm trying to avoid stop, like not work. I'm trying to keep working. That's the whole point. Because I'm trying not to waste the time. I want delicious
like
food without having to put the effort in.
No. To drive there. It's not
a
big deal.
Yeah, but it takes like 5 minutes technically, but it takes like 30 minutes emotionally. You know what I mean?
Right, but also the drive to and from the restaurant is my like bop to tunes in the car time, which is also important for my mental health.
And this is the difference between us, I guess. Okay, fair enough. Well, hey, to each their own.
You just want somebody to like hand you your food through the nearest window while you type away on the computer.
Yeah, through a straw, ideally. Just give it to me.
Yeah,
you know? I'll just drink Huel all the time.
They're going to put
give
it in
a Soylent.
Box.
Doesn't matter to
outside
me.
Outside your window, you're going to have tubes running straight to your mouth.
Yeah, like I kind of want like prison, like solitary confinement prison rules. Like if Ashley could just open a slot and slide food in my room and then I'd eat it and then just put the empty tray, that would be ideal. Because then I could just sit here and work on YouTube videos 12 hours a day. And then I wouldn't have to worry about it.
You can do that. You can saw a hole in your door. That's an option.
I'll think about it. I'm sure it would be helpful for like my overall mental health and like I'm sure the quality of the content wouldn't suffer if I just never did anything with my life and only stared at a screen all day. I'm sure that would be great.
Right. No real life experiences to draw.
Yes.
Ideas from.
I think that would be ideal for sure.
Just sit in a prison of your own mind.
Yeah, I think that's really the goal. It's really the goal.
You know, when I was a kid, I was seeing movies where people would get grounded and like grounded to the point where they weren't even going to the dinner table for dinner. You know, like they would be brought their food to their room. You know what I mean? Like in a movie, it would be like a kid would be grounded and their mom
or their
sibling or something would bring a plate of food to their room for dinner because they couldn't even come out of their room for dinner. Was that happening to people? Were people being like handed a ham sandwich because they were grounded so hard? I mean, I'm sure it is.
I don't know.
People are
maybe, but
abused.
To me, that's not really a punishment, I guess. Like, wouldn't it be worse if you had to sit with your family and like have them be mad at you?
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
That's the last thing you would want is the kid. You don't want to isolate the child and make you think they hate them. They'll just keep acting out, right? But it could happen. We didn't even get grounded as kids, period. My family didn't do that. Like, it was never, I don't know why.
I got grounded one time.
I couldn't speak to that.
You want to hear that story? Shout out to my mom.
Why? Yes,
she will be listening. And we actually,
please.
We actually haven't really talked about this since. I think I brought
it up. It's too late. You're in it. The slide is open. I'm pushing you down. I gotta know.
I think I brought it up once, like a couple of years later, and she didn't really say anything. But I still think about it because I still think it wasn't fair.
Wait, she just didn't really say anything? She was like, oh, I don't want to talk about it?
I don't remember. I think I just like brought it
all
up
right,
as
well,
a joke and we moved on.
Set the stage. How old?
So I was a big rule follower growing up, obviously. Anybody can guess this.
Right.
But, you know, I was like a annoying nerd, straight A student that never did anything wrong.
Right.
So, it was just, I was like 16 or 17, maybe 16.
Okay.
And it was when I had like just started dating Noah. and we were literally just like, and we hung out all the time, like every single day, one of us was going to the other person's house.
Classic.
And we would just play video games. We were playing Borderlands. That's how I got into Borderlands.
Cute.
And so she knows this. She knows I don't do anything except if I'm going to be anywhere, I go to Noah's house and play Borderlands. Like, that's the extent of anything I'm ever doing. And so it was like a Friday night or something. And I think like two different of Noah's siblings also were having sleepovers. So there was just a lot of kids in the house. Like, it was like party time kid vibes. And I was not thinking about the time at all. And so we were playing Borderlands until like 3 a.m. And I hadn't told her where I was.
Damn.
Oops. But like,
now, but this is where you regularly,
where I would
is it
have
sleepover?
Been.
Right. Is it sleepover era here? Is it like one person sleeping over the other? Or is it like, no, you can't sleep over type vibes? Like, you have to come home whatever.
I think the plan was that I was going to come home. But anyway, so I wasn't looking at my phone. This is in the era when I I had a little slide-out keyboard phone still, because I didn't
keyboard,
have a smartphone
yep,
until, like, fucking 2014 or something.
But, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Me? It was 2018. I got a smartphone.
Okay, I guess you're better than me.
I have a flip phone. I know. Just wanted you to
know
that.
Wait, that's actually pretty impressive, then. Are you... wait, really? 2018?
I'm pretty sure... Yeah, because it was, like...
You're saying only 2 years before COVID, you still didn't have a smartphone?
Let me check the dates on that and get back to you. Let me double check. I gotta go see.
That's a little too much.
Because I was like, when I first started filming YouTube videos, I was filming them on an iPad that I won from Mike Shinoda of Linkin Park fame. Because
Whoa.
I had a
what?
A little flip phone. Yeah, it was an old iPad. And I won it from Twitter. Mike Shinoda gave it to me. And... So that was like my iPhone, basically. So like when I first, a long time ago, this girl I was dating, we met on Tinder, and I was Tindering on this iPad because I didn't have a phone. And so I just would keep that with me all the time. It was at least 2016, I know for sure. But I think it was later. But I'll check the dates and get back to you.
2016,
no big deal. Anyway.
I would believe. 2018, for some reason, seems too crazy.
I'll look into it. So
Please, in any case...
So you got grounded on account of just not being in communication?
Yeah, well, my mom's argument was that she tried to call me a bunch of times, which I am sorry, I was not looking at my phone. I think it was like in a completely different room. I was not paying attention. Just completely lost track of time. But so she was like, you know, I was trying to call you and you weren't answering and you could have been anywhere doing anything. And I'm like, no, I could have been doing one thing. You know what one thing I was doing. So
now,
I thought
you
it was
ever...
really unfair. She grounded me for like 2 weeks. So I just like come straight home after school. It was stupid.
Right. So that was my other question. It's like, what was exactly the restriction? So you just come home after school, go to school the next day, no going anywhere in between. Okay. Here's the only thing I could say, because I think I would mostly agree that feels more like a, hey, that really scared me because I thought I didn't know where you were conversation, as opposed to like a you're grounded conversation. But if you had never done that before, if you'd always like answered the phone, always answered the texts, if that was the first time and you weren't responding, I could see how someone would be like, where the fuck is my kid? They've never not responded to me before. So she might have thought you were dead. And then that energy, if you think your kid's dead, that energy's got to go somewhere, ma'am. You can't just, you know, you can't bottle that up. So she took it out on you, and that's the way it goes.
Yes,
you know, you get frightened and so on and so forth, and that's all life is.
She definitely had either Noah's number or Noah's parents' number, and she didn't even try to call them. So if she really wanted to figure out where I was, that would have been the first thing to do.
All right, she's going to have to defend herself in the comments. Why did we not call? Does she remember this, you think?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure she does.
Okay, maybe there's more to the story that we're not familiar with that she can air in public in the comments of a YouTube video. Could be interesting. Maybe we could have her on the pod for a segment. We can do a little, you know, remember that show Maury Povich or Jerry Springer? We can do a little do a little moment like that, and I can we'll bring in like a bailiff and judge. Maybe like Judge Judy is a good comparison.
Because I can sit on the pod and talk shit all I want, and she just has to wait until later when she hears it and write a little comment. You know, like she's not.
And you have like a gaggle
herself.
Of supporters.
I do.
Who will like always back you up? You know, so it's like she's at a huge disadvantage for sure.
But, I just thought it was funny because I was like, Mom, you know I'm a loser that doesn't do anything. You know for a fact I am not like out drinking or something.
Yeah, I wondered if what her fear was. Because it could have been that you guys got kidnapped and killed or something.
I
you
think
know?
She was
Maybe
pissed
she
that I wasn't
Noah.
Answering my phone at like 2 or 3 a.m., which is understandable. But
that's very late.
I don't know if the
that's pretty late.
The punishment fit the crime. I don't know. It's fine.
Well, hey,
we'll
take it up with the courts.
I'm clearly over it, and I don't care.
We'll take it up with the courts. Yeah, I don't.
So you never got grounded?
Really, no, we just always did. My parents were the type that they would be like, "Hey, because you did this, this is what that made me feel like, and this is the consequence. And now, because you did this, you need to go apologize to these people because it affected those people."
Yeah.
So they would just like force us to engage with the natural consequences of everything we did all the time.
That's very sensible, I think.
Which just made me like feel bad and for everything, you know, if I ever did anything wrong. But or alternatively, it just made me learn how to perform feeling bad, because sometimes they would say
sometimes
I didn't feel bad, but I like didn't get it, like I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Like why certain things.
Do you want to say what
like,
any of those things were? You don't have to.
The one I'm thinking of, I definitely shouldn't say.
Okay.
Because it was extremely culturally insensitive. It was a little, I don't know, a little costume I put on in fifth grade. You know, it didn't matter. Yeah, it wasn't good. But you don't, I remember like being told, hey, you can't dress up as that person because for the certain types of people, that's really, it's scary. And I remember saying like,
kid,
oh yeah, of course
know.
I get it. No, I didn't have any empathy until I was like 20. It took ages before I like truly started understanding like why nuanced things, like I got like if you punch someone why that would be bad, but it was harder to understand, I remember, in like middle school, like why making fun of someone is hurtful, because I didn't get hurt when people did it to me, so like I didn't quite connect those dots. So I don't know, it was just it is what it was. But I remember sitting in like a lot of things with teachers being like, you know, you can't do that, don't, you know, blah blah blah, and just feeling like, okay, yeah, of course not, of course, but like actively feeling like this doesn't make sense. I don't like we got yelled at because there was a you ever do like a little fake city where all the kids at the school go to the city place and you all get fake jobs and you learn how cities work and civics and stuff. So we did that, and my job was the radio host, and we wanted to make the And this is a stupid example because that teacher was actually wrong about this, but we wanted to make the radio station number 66.6. And this was like sixth grade or whatever. And
like knowingly as
a
joke?
I maintain to this day, I did not understand that it was a problem.
But was it somebody else's suggestion?
I clearly see now in hindsight that all of the other people in the radio station group understood the implications of that and why, you know, whatever it was. But they remember them scolding us and being like, this is not nice because some people are scared of the devil and you don't want to frighten them, and just being like, yeah, okay, this doesn't make sense to me, but whatever, I'll do it anyway. So a lot of experiences like that, but no groundings, no, like we didn't have a lot of those conventional parenting things, like no allowance, no grounding, no whatever. So
yeah, as somebody
that it was.
Never grew up religious, I always thought it was a little bit silly that, like, I remember having to say H-E double hockey sticks because we shouldn't say the word hell, when like now it's like I don't even think, like, I wouldn't even really consider that a cuss word now, so it's just funny that
it doesn't even count.
I'm sure it depends where you are, obviously, because in the Midwest there are a lot of Christians that actually apparently care about that stuff.
There are. Yeah, you will occasionally find people who, like, wince if you say, like, a naughty word. Like a,
now I wonder if, like, are there real radio stations that are on 66.6? Or
no,
is it, like, avoided?
They, like, allocated... No, well, they don't even allocate that, because the number is based on the amount of, like, megahertz.
Yeah.
Like, the frequency of the signal. And they don't go that low or that high. I think they only go... They only sell publicly the radio waves from like 87 hertz up to like 108 or whatever.
Okay.
So no 69, no 66.6,
damn,
no 420. So yeah, you don't get any of the good ones, unfortunately.
So much is lost with these regulations. Imagine 420.
I think it's interesting. The best radio. I mean,
they could just play stoner like music all day.
Competition, exactly. The competition for that station. Isn't it weird how there's not like a. Have you ever had a radio station that was like 100.0, just like 100? You ever heard of that?
I don't know. I guess there's usually a point something.
Yeah, like tune to 100. It doesn't. I've never heard of that.
Radio 100. That's the way it was. I used to kind of want to have a radio show really bad. Like, not me talking, but like a curated.
Okay, I was going
like,
to say, saying that while doing a podcast, kind of funny, but we can add music. Do you want to put music on the pod?
There's a different vibe to having a radio show, I feel like. Maybe it feels more official to me because I'm still like, I grew up with radio and TV being more important than internet stuff. But,
yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, because I just like music so much, and I think it would be fun to like curate the station. I probably should have just done college radio, but I was too busy doing my homework.
Yeah, too busy being a nerd, playing Borderlands, and getting A's. That would have been fun. So that's...
Well, I basically stopped playing video games as soon as I got into college. Like, I barely played video games at all.
Oh, you did say that last week,
yeah. From like... through most of college and grad school, and then I've like basically just got back into it when I started YouTube again. So
yeah, so interesting.
Anyway, what the hell are we talking about?
Radio. Radio, yeah, and whatever. I'm not sure what we got off on some tangent. Do you have any actual topics that you are bringing to us today, or
not a whole lot as usual? I did turn 30 over the weekend.
Congratulations again.
I am 30 years old, and it's literally fine. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. Doesn't make a difference, except that you are a little smarter than you were the day before, right?
Yeah. Well, I have gained infinite wisdom, as I said on my stream. Now I have infinite wisdom, so that's really cool. But mostly...
Here's a question.
Everything's fine and normal.
How... Do you actually think that every year of your life... From one to the next, you've been smarter than the year before? Or were there years in the interim that, like, maybe you took a
where
couple dips?
Where I got stupider.
And if so, where were those? I'm trying to think back, like, because you assumed that you were just always getting smarter. But we know from old people that eventually you'll get stupider. And so I'm just curious, like, there's a bias towards assuming it's just linear up. But I wonder, do you think there were a couple years that you were dumber? Because I think there probably were for me. If I think of like some of those years in the 20s were a little dicey.
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible to regress. And obviously I can't say like... It's hard to say smarter or dumber in a broad sense. I think there's like probably
I'm just
certain...
talking IQ, ma'am. Let's keep it simple. IQ.
Oh, just IQ?
Yeah, you think your IQ has only gone up?
I mean...
And you think there was ever a couple years in there where it got a little...
If we're talking about the freaking IQ test, I think that's measuring extremely specific things. I don't know if that goes up much.
We should take it on the pod. We should each take an IQ test.
Wait, that's great content. We should.
Okay. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe,
yeah. Let me write that
down. Next collab. We'll do... We have to do one... And listen, I don't care how much it is. I'll pay for it. Even I want to do like one of the like $1,000 like actual IQ tests, all right? I want the real number, okay?
Yeah.
I don't want none of that fake crap.
What if we have to like go
maybe
to a testing center in person? Because don't they like, I don't know. I always imagined IQ tests when I was a kid as like you have to talk to the testing person and they're like personally asking you things. But maybe that's just when they test kids. I don't know. Because I feel like I saw that in a movie or something.
It might be better not to do too serious of one, though, because what if it is? What if it's low? That would be hard for me.
That's what I'm saying. What if we...
If it was like 97, like that would be the worst. I'd rather it be like 60.
And like, what if we reveal the scores and like one of us is way lower than the other?
That'd be really funny. Oh my God. It would be really good content. You have to admit. It would be so funny.
It would.
I don't know.
I'm sure people have done that on YouTube, like taken a real IQ test, but I don't know if I've ever seen anyone that I watch do that. That would be crazy.
Yeah, like I want to see actual like streamers, like live streamers, these people who like some of them are chill and some aren't, But it would be so funny to have to look everyone in the eye and be like, oh, I'm... Because we all say,
that's
like,
a crazy thing
matter.
To reveal publicly, honestly.
I know. But and it doesn't matter. That's the thing. It's like, we all know.
It doesn't matter. And like...
It doesn't measure much except a specific... No, it does measure something, but it measures a specific thing.
Yeah. And like,
and
all
so
tests going to be biased in certain
value,
ways. And yeah. Like, you
exactly.
and I understand that it wouldn't mean anything. But the
but
way that that would like
it.
Give the whole internet fuel... Like, imagine like your hate comments if people knew your exact IQ.
Yeah, like if your comment would just be the IQ number, all like if it, especially if it was low.
Yeah, like the way.
Oh god, it'd be so
funny. The way people go in people's Twitch chats and just say like, if they think you're old, they'll be like 30. By the way, 35. By the
exactly,
way,
exactly. Yeah,
they would just say the IQ number.
Funny.
By the way.
Yes, you know, that might be a good deflection.
Listen,
like imagine if it was like 80. Which I know is very low technically, like on the scale of it, but like then anything you do, people be like, oh, he's extremely stupid, so it's fine, you know?
Like,
it doesn't
oh, like
matter.
It could
he's
be
really
an excuse.
Low on IQ. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So
no, listen,
we're
know.
Gonna
what
do
you
it. Think what do you
we'll
think yours
test,
is? What do you think it is?
And then if either of us is too low, we just won't air it and we'll say we just won't even act like we'd ever did it.
Okay, but now that you've said that, if we never put up an episode where this happens, people are gonna know.
Turns out one or both of us is dumb.
Yeah. Dummy dumb, as they say.
Dummy dumb.
Holy smokes. Yeah, let's think about it. Because if it truly doesn't matter, if we believe that, then surely we can do it, right?
Yeah, I guess we got to stand behind our words. It doesn't matter.
Maybe. Is that a high IQ thing to say or a low IQ thing to say? Like to want to not be a hypocrite. You think that's high IQ? Like, does that bode well for us?
I really don't know. But I mean, so back to your original question. Do I think I've gotten stupider?
Oh, yeah.
I think... Okay, if we're just talking about IQ, my honest answer is I think that I have peaked already. I wouldn't say, like, I don't
okay.
think, I can't see getting smarter in that way. As far as, like, I don't know. Everything depends. But I do think that since I haven't been in grad school anymore, sometimes I feel like I've gotten a little bit stupider because I'm not exercising that part of my brain as much that like
yeah
knows how to write a paper or you know, I was doing a lot of critical thinking between like engineering and research stuff, and I haven't been doing that as much, but I have noticed that it can come back, right? Like I've been saying, if I put down the phone and I read more, I feel smarter and I feel myself getting back to where I was. So
yeah,
I don't think it's like permanently lost or anything. I think I can access that part of myself again in the future if I want, but just been focusing on
different
things.
Is it like just a muscle? Like imagine if we took an IQ test every year and we said like, you know how you want to be like, oh, I want to weigh this much or I want to be able to lift this much or whatever. Can you do things to like get smarter or dumber? I mean, obviously, but like...
I mean, I think there's at least
a
little
bit of
science
behind,
way? Like, your kind of logical cognitive ability is not...
Right.
Like, it does kind of go down over time. From what I've heard, like, when the older you get, I don't know.
Well, right, but similar to, like, muscle building or whatever, it does get, like, it goes down in the aggregate over time, but you still can, like... be strong. Like the difference
for sure
between the highest and lowest point at age 30 is way different, way bigger than the difference between the highest point at 30 and the highest point at 60, you know. So it's like,
yeah, you
and
definitely
I would assume
can,
the brain would be the same way, but
exercise it and keep up with it. Like I'm saying, like I notice the more time I spend reading books, the more it's like I'm almost just kind of reconnecting to that part of my brain that I've disconnected from for a little bit, and it comes back quicker, and I feel like, oh, I actually could write an essay right now if I tried, but I just haven't done it in a while.
Practice makes perfect.
But you think
I think I've actually noticed
you think there's years where you have got dumber?
I mean, again, it's obviously as we're saying just in terms of IQ in like a funny way, but definitely there were years where I think I was less like capable of thinking through problems and like retaining information and synthesizing it. I feel like now actually these last like 2 years since my YouTube channel has become more about like digging into a bunch of science topics and communicating it, mm-hmm. that part of my brain feels really active and like accessible. But I remember like two, three, exactly. And that's all it is. But I remember like 5-ish years ago having conversations with people who were just constantly able to like remember things and bring things up and mm-hmm. synthesize information and being like, how are you doing that? Like, I don't understand how you just like know so much and having that feeling all the time. And I have that feeling less now. So I think this, whenever I stop doing YouTube, I'll probably get a lot stupider. And that's fine. You know, that's, I'll get smart in other ways instead. You know, maybe like we'll work on empathy or music or who knows.
Yeah.
There's so many avenues.
Isn't that what neuroplasticity means? It's like your brain adapts to whatever you're doing, whatever is useful to you in the time. So,
exactly, 100%.
There will come a day when maybe you don't need to be so smart, so you'll just be dumb, and it's fine.
Yeah, but that scares me. I feel like I always want to be trying to be really smart all the time, because that's what will make. But I don't know. Maybe that I shouldn't. Maybe I should let go of that.
It scares me too. That's why I'm like, I need to get back to reading books and stuff, because I don't want to. I do think there's something behind, like, if you stop even trying to do smart things at all, then that, like, decline as you get older is just accelerated. Because there is, like, some stuff about...
Exactly.
Not that, like, dementia is ever anyone's fault, but it does seem to be higher, I think, if you reading a lot and just sort of, like, keeping your brain
active. I love
that
you're simultaneously threading the needle between saying, it's not your fault, but you can do things to make it not happen.
Well, like, that's the same thing with a lot of health stuff, I think, right?
It
is,
yes.
There
are choices we can make.
I'm never going to be blaming anybody for their health, because there's all kinds of factors involved. But I think if you keep your brain active, it is better for you in the long run. So,
I'll blame myself for my health if it's my fault. Because, you know, there are things that are just, like, my fault. Like, if I'm always drinking caffeine at 5 p.m., which, you know, like, horrible. And then I don't sleep. And I'm like,
I'm sitting here with my Dr. Pepper right now. I'm not blaming myself
for that. I know. Well, for you, it's only, what, 2 o'clock? So, for me, I just, right before we started, chugged a coffee. 3 p.m. Yeah, it's totally fine. You know what I learned, though? I've always been under the assumption that caffeine... People always say, like, oh, don't drink caffeine 6 hours before bedtime or earlier because caffeine has a half-life of 6 hours. Mm. I knew this, but I hadn't really thought through it. The half-life just means that there's half of it left after that time, you know?
Yeah.
So if you drink 200 milligrams of caffeine at noon, there's 100 milligrams left at 6, and there's still 50 milligrams of caffeine, which is like most of a cup of coffee at midnight in your blood, which is like,
isn't that like a lot?
Good?
Wait, how much is the average cup of coffee?
It depends on like what exactly, how big and how it's brewed. Most people say 90 milligrams for a cup of coffee, but it can be anywhere from like 50 to 100. It's just,
have I ever, like, told the story about this girl?
Crazy.
This girl came through the Starbucks drive-thru one time when I had just started, and I had just learned that, like, there's like numbers of shots of espresso in different sizes of drink. And she ordered something that normally doesn't have any coffee in it. And she was like, if I wanted to add like espresso to this, like how many shots should I do? And I just said, like, she was getting like a venti. So I just said like the full amount for a venti, which is like fucking 6 shots.
God.
Cause she didn't know, cause she wasn't a coffee drinker. And so I put 6 shots of espresso in this girl's drink that like never normally had caffeine. And so she was probably, I don't know. I hope she didn't have a heart attack or something.
Yeah. Well, she might be like, maybe that like caused her to like succeed. Like, you know, maybe you got her addicted to it and then she started becoming more productive. And now that woman's name, Hillary Clinton or something like that. You know, it could
well,
be some
woman.
Well,
I got her addicted to it. And then she came back and nobody else was crazy enough as I was to put that much in it. So she could never quite reach that high again. And she was like mad.
Yeah, true. And then she started seeking out other forms of, you know, intoxication.
And now she's addicted to crack and on the street.
Could
be.
Could be. But maybe later she'll get unaddicted to crack and she'll become the president's son, like Hunter Biden.
Wow.
Wait. But you get the point. You understand the underlying message there. It's a story of redemption.
Yeah. I feel inspired.
Good. Yeah. Hunter Biden should inspire us all. I lost my train of thought. I had a follow-up question about the caffeine thing, but now I don't remember. So Health, blaming people.
Excuse me.
IQ tests, whatever. That? It's that egg and cheese, man.
It is.
At least it's coming. It's coming out the other
thing.
Way.
It creates a gas. I'm telling you.
<it's> chemical reaction happening in there. It's like that's the new. It's the new Pop Rocks and Coke. It's eggs and cheese.
Oh my god.
Something like that.
Wait, does Pop Rocks and Coke make you explode or something?
Yeah, I thought it kills you if you have them together or whatever.
I thought Mentos and Coke.
It's like an urban
Coke.
Myth. Well, Mentos and Coke, maybe it also kills you because it does make a bunch of
Mentos
gas.
Mentos and Coke
so
definitely
you...
explodes. So probably you'd be like puking up the foam.
That would be so funny. I think there's probably videos of people doing that.
Oh, there's
actually,
absolutely. I haven't seen them, but there's absolutely videos of that that we will not be putting on the screen.
No, we won't.
Anyway, we went on like 5 different tangents, but my main news was just that I'm 30 and I realized that I was being a big baby about it. I know I talked on a fast pod about freaking out about it. I think I had my little freak out on my Japan trip because I was alone and I had all this time to think. And I was like, oh, no, like mourning the loss of my 20s and like I wasted my time and doing this and this. And so I think I got over it then. And then I literally just had the thought the other day, like a few days before my actual birthday, I was like, I literally like know plenty of people that are in their 30s and are like fine and cool. And I'm actually like being insulting to them by acting like this is a big deal. Like it's not.
Yeah.
I'm like being rude. I'm like being rude by caring that I'm going to be 30.
Thank you for saying that. I've been feeling hurt
ever since
you started on this tangent. For whatever reason, I just didn't even think about it, to be honest. But maybe that's because my 20s were kind of a funny time. So I was almost glad to be rid of them, you know? Like, you ever have an era like that?
Yeah.
Where you're like,
seems like
I'm ready to move on.
As cliche as it is, that is kind of how most people end up feeling about it. You know, because you're figuring out a lot of stuff. But the last, like...
Yeah.
Couple years of my life have been really, really good, so I truly have nothing to complain about or worry about. Like everything is fine. The only thing that's
changing that should make you excited.
A label. So yeah, so I feel fine. I feel ready to be a real grown up. Because the bright side of it is that I don't have this kind of stereotype of a person in their 20s looming over me either. Like I can proudly say that I'm 30 and I'm a grown-up and people will treat me like a grown-up, I feel like. So
you
I
know,
feel fine.
I would have thought that, but for some reason, it's all dudes, obviously, over the age of 140. It doesn't matter. People who are older than me. They still call me buddy. And I'm like,
I'm not
even mad about it anymore. No, it's annoying because I'm like, what? I'm like your age. I don't know. It'll be like a 35-year-old guy. And I'm like, I'm not really that much younger than you. Like, I don't know about. Thanks, bud. Thanks, buddy.
I mean, I know. Buddy. Okay. So I know from past discussions that you just have a problem with people using friendly language towards you. So that might be part of what's happening here.
Maybe that's what it is. Thank you for remembering.
Because I still will call people kids. Like when I meet somebody my age and then I'm talking about it to somebody else, I'll be like, I met this kid. I still say that because in my mind I'm like I do that like intentionally because I'm like trying not to take life too seriously and like realizing that like we're all kind of kids until we die, basically. Like nobody ever really knows what's going on. That's the vibe behind me. So I still use kid for like myself and like people my age. And I feel like...
Would you, if you were talking to someone about me...
I don't know if there's an age where I will stop doing that, I wonder.
But would you do that to me? Would you be like, oh, hey, yeah, I met this kid who makes YouTube videos. Would you say that? Or does it not count because I'm older than you?
I don't know.
Phil, try it on. pretend I'm someone else. And be like, all right, hey, Mems, have you ever met any YouTubers?
Gosh, I probably would say guy. I would probably say I met this guy to you. But wait, now
kid.
I'm like, what does that mean?
Uh-oh.
What is my... What
yeah,
is
we're
the
unpacking it. Do you think there's like a... You feel like there's certain people that you... There's like a different kind of social dynamic hierarchy piece where you're like... Because if I meet someone who feels younger than me, I might say kid. Depends on how much younger.
Maybe that's what it is. Wait...
But
I
would never do that with someone who's older than me.
Maybe it's a little bit about personality. because I think.
Yes. No, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
I don't want to. I think meeting I don't you have for a youthful the first personality, time, I think fine. My impression would be that you are a little bit serious of a person. And I think that's why I would say guy instead of kid.
Because you think I would beat you up if you called me a kid or buddy.
And maybe it's that I could just sense that you wouldn't like being called kid.
Well, hey, there you go. That explains why we've always gotten along so well. You picked up on that.
I'm trying to pick up on people's preferences, I guess.
Okay.
But we're adding a layer to this philosophy. If I met a guy somewhere that was like super kind of like bubbly party type of person, I think I would be more tempted to say kid. This is like.
But there is an age after which you wouldn't. Like if it was a 50-year-old dude,
that's true. If they like have gray hair, I'm not going to call them kid. That's true.
Okay.
I guess I'm kind of realizing some of my own. Biases maybe in the way that I operate.
We all have them.
But the core point I was trying to make is that I use kid in like a nice way because I'm trying to like bring everybody to the same level kind of.
Yeah. Except the people who don't want to be on that level and then you leave them alone, which we appreciate. I think the buddy thing I think is the same way. Like they're just trying to be like friendly. But
buddy, I wouldn't use because it does sound a little bit almost passive aggressive to me.
It's a little infantilizing, mm-hmm. I think. Like it instantly adds a hierarchy, which maybe you could argue kid does too, but it depends on the tone.
Because buddy is also a fighting like, word in a certain tone.
Yeah, hey, buddy. Yeah, you're right. No, you're not wrong. It's
yeah.
So I don't know, but it's always like masculine dudes, like relatively sort of like. Masculine guys who would do
it. Yeah, I know.
Nobody else calls me buddy. So maybe they're asserting dominance and I'm just kind of allowing it, I suppose, which in that case, maybe they have a point. You know? Oh, well.
I have a couple of viewer questions, unless you had something else to bring up.
I just wanted to mention that it's really funny that last week I was talking about how I didn't know what to spend my money on. Like, I wanted something to splurge on, you know, and I was talking about this. And then immediately, like a few days ago, we've been talking about, like, I've basically never sort of, like, splurged on a purchase with YouTube money. Like, it's everything that I've bought with it has been, like, more stuff to make more YouTube videos pretty much.
Yeah.
And so I've never, like, bought an object. And so we were like, you know, we got 1 million subscribers. I got my little gold plaque in the mail the other day.
Ooh, yay! That was quick.
I know, isn't that cute? It was quick. Yeah, they were on top of it. For a million, they're on top of it.
Yeah, 100K then they're
serious. Took a little while. I was like, let's get myself something nice. I'm going to buy a new guitar. I haven't bought a new guitar really ever. I always buy like shitty guitars. So then I went to Guitar Center. And now I figured out what I can spend all my money on. Because holy cow. Everything in there is awesome. So I ended up coming home with a beautiful guitar. First time in my life ever owning a nice guitar. And I would have told you that it was made up, that nice guitars are actually nice.
No, electric
it's
guitar? Not.
It's actually incredible. An electric guitar, yeah. It's for anyone who plays guitar, it's a PRS, a Paul Reed Smith CE24, I believe is what it's called. And it's like a kind of a foresty green. It's just a beautiful, like it just sounds so good and it feels so good to play. And I've never had that experience. That was great. But then because I was at Guitar Center, I also ended up coming home with, I bought a bass guitar because I like playing bass on my songs because it's just more fun to play bass. So I got a cheap Squire bass guitar, which is like a $200 little like electric bass. And then I got a djembe, which is like an African drum because I love playing the drums and I don't have any and I don't have enough space for a drum set. And I was just playing this hand drum in Guitar Center. And I was like, this is awesome. So I got a djembe. So I got a djembe also. And
so you bought
at the last
band.
Second, we bought a rain stick. So now I've got a rain stick, a djembe, a bass, and a guitar. I bought all in one trip to Guitar Center. So that's now I figured it out. I can go back. I'll get some synths. I'll get some keyboards. The amount of stuff in that place. They call it Guitar Center, man. But truly, it's an everything center. It's anything you could ever need. So...
Where's the sponsor money?
That's what I...
Guitar Center.
I'll call him. I got to get a Paul Reed Smith sponsor. I'll tell you what, those guitars.
Did you walk in there knowing what guitar you wanted, or did you like ask around?
No, I never do. I literally, my whole rule is I just walk in. I don't even look at the brands. I just go, I like how that one looks, and then I buy it. And then whatever it ends up being.
You don't
normally
even play
I have
it?
To go in with like a. No, heck no. No way. I like the vibe.
It's completely based on appearance.
100% based on. I would call it vibe, not appearance.
Here I am thinking you're a music guy. You're probably going in there. You're talking about terms I've never even heard of as far as like the sound
not.
Of the guitar. And you're just like,
no.
One looks
I
cool.
I literally, every time I've bought an instrument, technically I touched this one before buying it. But normally I point and the person I go, I want that. And they go, do you want to play it? And I go, no, I'm buying it right now. And they go, are you sure? And I go, stop asking me. Give it to me. And it's always worked out for me every single time. So that's how I got my Squire Jaguar. That's how I got my PRS, whatever the fuck this is called.
I mean, that saves a lot of time, honestly. It seems stressful to actually like try to care and compare them. It would take like all day.
Exactly. And I don't want to be someone who has too many choices when I make music, because then I just get choice. Like I just want to be like, whatever guitar is the one I bought, that's just how my music gets to sound now. Like, so that's it. Then that's my like little restriction that I get to play with.
Absolutely. I think a lot
so it's helpful for me psychologically, but
yeah, as a music fan, I feel like I've noticed that sometimes it can be better when they have more restrictions, because I do notice a pattern with
almost
people
always
when I like there's people that I really really like when they're still like an indie musician and making stuff in their bedroom with like whatever they had, and then they get richer and they get more stuff, which is like awesome, happy for them. But it almost like they just start making different choices, and like some of the ways that it sounded because of the restrictions was like part of the charm. So
I worry about that sometimes with YouTube, because I think it does two things. It's one, it forces you to like adhere to a sound or a style, because you don't have infinite choices. So if one day you wake up and you're like, I don't like how this sounds, too bad, so sad, that's what you have. You have to work with the stuff you have. But it also just eliminates even the process of considering what you want it to sound like, because you don't have a choice. These are the instruments you got. This is the editing software you have. Mm-hmm. These are the skills you're you know able to use. And so it's like, of course, your videos just end up having to be a certain way, which means that instead of worrying about a bunch of really specific things, you know, like the guitar is not quite right and it's buzzing a little bit, and we just got to get this exact type of drum for this thing. Instead of spending all your time worrying about that, you make music. Mm-hmm. You work on a video, you know, so it just helps shortcut some of that stuff. But that's the concern now is. Now that I walked into Guitar Center and I whiffed its intoxicating scent, I need to stop myself from going back and getting anything else. I need to write a bunch of music with what I have before moving on.
Use
it's like
what
buying
you have
a book
first.
Before you've read all the books you have. Yeah.
Because you don't want to get caught buying 20 instruments and then you don't end up using
them. Especially with synths and stuff. My God, it's endless.
I love that combo of things.
We're paused right
electric
now.
Electric guitar, bass, single hand drum and rain stick.
It's a game changer. I've already been like instantly I sat down and started writing songs, and it's like, oh, it's incredible. Like I'm so happy with them all.
I do think you have to make some songs now with the restriction being that the percussion is the single hand drum and the rain stick exclusively.
Already done.
Awesome.
That was like the first thing I did.
Yeah.
That's you can sick. Do a surprising amount with a single hand drum. Initially I was like, hand drums are dumb because it's just one sound, but it's not. It turns out it's only one sound if you suck at it.
For sure.
So if you work on it and you get good at it.
Bang on the top, bang on the side, bang on it with different stuff.
You bang on it in different ways, shape your palm differently. You can get different, sounds out of it. It's incredible. It's really fun. That's my little story about now. Maybe I'll go broke buying a bunch of instruments. Hopefully not, but
that's awesome. We
can do listener questions.
Little home studio.
I know, it's getting crowded in here, let me tell you.
Okay, so I wrote down a couple questions. One question kind of made me think of another question, but the original question was, I just thought it was funny, what would your guys' strategy be for surviving in medieval times? if you ended up in medieval times.
Well, there's that.
I like the phrasing of it too. Is that
video?
It's what is our strategy for surviving? Is a funny way to phrase it. Because like,
is this the restaurant, or do they mean literally the medieval times?
No, if we time traveled to medieval times.
Got it. Okay, got it. Got it.
The time period. Yeah. The restaurant is a different story, I guess.
Yeah, that's. I wouldn't be able to give you a strategy for that. You just gotta cross your fingers, hope that they don't spot you. Isn't like the number one thing that would kill you is all the diseases that we're not immune to anymore? Like, that's first order of business, right? It's like if you just instantly got teleported there, drinking the water, eating anything, like, you're just very liable to getting a gut disease.
I think so,
and
yeah.
And shitting yourself to death. So the ham and cheese sandwiches probably do help prepare you.
Egg and cheese.
You might have to up the dose.
No ham.
Beyond that, yeah, I don't... The strategy would be... Yikes. Well, if you go back with the knowledge you have now, I bet you could take a lot of advantage of situations. Because they didn't even know how to, like...
How to do anything. How to draw a baby.
Like,
I mean,
have war. Like, they didn't understand guerrilla warfare. So even just like that, you could cause a lot of trouble, you know?
You're immediately going back and causing wars.
Well, there's always war happening back then. That was the thing. It's like, if there wasn't a war, it was like a nice spring, you know? And then after that, there's another war coming. So you gotta work on that. It's like the first thing you gotta survive. So I don't know. What do you think? What is your first thought?
First,
I'm gonna be Napoleon.
First, we have to understand what we're up against. So do you want to hear the top 15 health problems of medieval times?
Is this just causes of death, or like specifically like medical?
It just says health
problems.
Well, just
read them. Doesn't matter.
I'm not sure if this is
see.
Like what killed people, but maybe just like general health problems of the population. Number one, infant and child death. Varied causes, it says. So, I mean, a lot of times babies die, they don't really even know why. So a lot of the babies were just dying. Number two is tuberculosis. So tuberculosis was a big deal,
yes.
I guess.
And again, if you're not vaccinated against TB, not good.
Number three is fevers, general. I guess they just, you know, they didn't know why these things were happening. So all they knew was
no,
this
antibiotics
person has a fever.
And...
Yeah, it could be, it could be a bacterial, whatever. And then viral infections. How did they know it was viral? Number five is diarrhea. Number six is leprosy.
Classic, told you.
Number seven is...
Leprosy, yeah.
Social inequality, it says. I'm not sure
whether...
This data is apparently coming from some kind of some kind of academic paper, okay?
Did they even keep track of dead people back then?
I mean...
Or are we, like, inferring
to
things?
To some extent,
from, like,
probably. This is probably just whatever we can infer from the records that they did have. But, yeah, I don't even know if, like...
Yeah.
If you're not a rich or famous person, if they're even, like, counting how many people die. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so far, so good. I can deal with all this.
So, I guess... The question did say we're time traveling... So I do feel like we would have at least some kind of advantage as far as knowing that hygiene is important. Like, we shouldn't stick poop in our mouths, or we shouldn't, like, touch poop and then put our hands in our mouths.
Doing back. So, yeah, washing hands, super important.
So we could maybe have an advantage to not getting sick because we would know at least, like, don't, you know, breathe in the air of a sick person.
Right. If somebody's coughing, get away. Don't live in the cities, probably, because they're just a festering pit of filth back then. Well, I wonder, when's medieval times, actually? Is this, like, 1100s?
Well, when were medieval times?
You could discover America really early.
Ooh.
Think about that. You'd probably die on the way. And you could probably change the course of our relationship with the natives.
The 5th to the 15th centuries.
Okay. So, like, the Dark Ages. So, Jesus already happened. Isn't it interesting that that's, like, one of the few things that if you went back and said Jesus, people would be like, yeah, I know that guy. And they would still know him back then. Like, how many things like that are there?
You mean, like, know of him? Not Rome? Like, he's my neighbor?
Yeah, just like... No, not like he's my neighbor. No, that's... We have... That's
I know
now.
That guy.
Jesus
Here's
is
a question.
Everybody's
Here's
neighbor,
a question. But... You meet Jesus. You're talking to your friends later. Do you call him guy or kid?
That's very good. We just have to stop and appreciate how good that was. I call him guy. I think he seems serious, but...
I'd probably say guy, yeah. If he's walking around, like, preaching and stuff, I'd be like, okay, this guy is, like, he takes himself seriously. I'm going to call him guy.
Yeah. You're not going to be like, I met this kid earlier. He was walking on water. And it's weird.
I like how none of my options are man, though. I would never say I met this man. I just wouldn't say that.
No, met this man? No way. No, no, no. Dude? You might say dude.
Yeah. Met wait. Dude. That's another option. Kid, guy, dude.
Yeah, kid, guy, dude. And what is the difference between guy and dude?
This is actually such an interesting conversation to me because I actually think that I use all these words based on like subconscious decisions I'm making and not even realizing.
Yes. And that's the thing is they are consistent, right? Like you can sense that there's a consistency. You just don't know what it is.
Yeah. Like if
like there's some reason.
I could like plot out the data probably and figure out what is going on in my brain.
You would need someone else to do it, right?
Like this.
You need to like have a just like a 24/7 recorder. You would need to get those Mark Zuckerberg glasses, those dorky looking things with the cameras in them.
Yeah.
And then record your life for like a year and then start to parse it out. Like why? What types of people did you say guy, dude and kid about?
Mm-hmm. But
there's something going on there, man.
Yeah.
We don't know what it is, but there is something. If we can figure out how medieval people died of inequality. I'm sure we can figure this out.
They died of social inequality. I mean,
includes
stuff like starving because you're so poor. I mean...
Well, and like, right, does it include like dying in war because the rich people sent you to war? You know, I don't know. That's a big... But I'm sure, if it's an official study, I'm sure they have a solid, rigorous methodology.
But I probably would be... Like, to go back to the question, I'm transported to medieval times right now. I would definitely be scared of like... all the disease. So I think I think you're right about like moving out of a city. I think living in a city sounds crazy if there's like tuberculosis and the plague going around all the time.
Yeah. It'd probably be like get out of the city, immediately start like training with a sword or a spear. Like get good with a weapon so you can fight animals and then just camp basically until you die. That's like
yeah, I mean I would be the hermit lady in the woods in a hut.
Or, you know what? I wonder if actually being in a community would be safer. Like, strength in numbers, right? Because there was no, like, police or anything, really. So, like, if someone wanted to rob you, they would just do it. Unless you were, like... There was a YouTube video about this, I think, that was literally called, like, Advice for Time Traveling to Medieval Europe. And it was this, like, professor guy. And he just literally took that, like, seriously. Like, here's what you should do. Here's your biggest risks. Here's how you should whatever.
Okay.
And I think he answered a lot of these questions. I'll have to watch that video again.
You don't remember what he said in general?
I remember him saying that thing about, like, diseases. And then it kind of came back to me that he was like, yeah, it's... People were not as, like... People think that if you went back there and you were, like, a black person, they would just kill you. And he was like, no, they would... Like, people are interested in different people, but it's not like they didn't know about black people. They would just think, like, oh, you're an interesting man from this land.
Yeah.
Let me talk to you. And same with like if women go back that think you're a witch because you know math, it's like, no, they wouldn't really do that. But I remember him saying like disease and then let me pull it up so I can actually like credit this person.
That's okay. We're two YouTubers with a podcast. We're supposed to be talking out of our ass about nothing. So
true. Okay. It's by the pre-modernist and it's called Advice for Time Traveling to Medieval Europe. It's an hour long, has 5.4 million views. So, you know, it's
sick.
A banger. And it's literally just this professor talking in front of a bookcase the whole time. But it's excellent. So you can learn about it from him, I suppose.
Yeah. I'll go check that out.
And he'll help you.
Just in case I'm...
Help you survive.
I'm in this situation.
Anyway, yeah. What would you bring? Did you say... Would you bring us some silver coins or something? Some gold pennies?
Oh, I was just saying, I used to think about that a lot very seriously when I was a kid. About, like, what I would bring to the past to, like, impress them. And of course, when I was a kid, I was thinking of like my Game Boy Advance or something. Like, imagine
that would scare them for sure.
Because I had a Game Boy Advance, and I had those cartridges that you would put in to play like episodes of Nickelodeon shows in the worst quality imaginable. Did you have any of those?
Yeah. I never owned them, but yes,
so
I was familiar.
So imagine I go like back to medieval
times. They were like 80p.
Yeah. And like so compressed. Like the image is like so JPEG-ified. It's like three colors
in the whole
image.
And black
and
white too, I think.
I swear there were like some in color, but it just looked so bad.
Yeah.
But
in any case, so you would show them episodes of SpongeBob
so
on a GBA. That would be your go-to.
The worst quality possible episodes of SpongeBob on my Game Boy Advance.
You gotta wonder what, if anything, that would change about how history played out.
Even if it was high quality, do you think if I just showed them a picture of SpongeBob, would they recognize that as being like a character with a face? Or have we not even developed the iconography that they would like? Like, what would they even
you
think
might
of that
be
image?
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's like those. We didn't even know how to like paint things at a certain point.
Right.
Like, realistically, like we didn't even quite understand.
How far back would
what
have
would
to go
think?
For people to not even recognize SpongeBob as potentially a living being?
Dang, that is a great question. Like, at what point? It's like 1950s, they would be like, was that a cereal mascot? That's kind of weird. 1940s, 30s for sure. Like 1910s. Yes. But like we didn't, like at what point did we start having like little cartoon guys? Like probably like late 1800s, it would still be fine. But man, if you showed SpongeBob to GW, George Washington, I don't know if he would know what to make of it. I think he'd be like, what is this? Get this out of my sight.
I would have to show him something like that just out of curiosity. I would have to know.
Do you think we could get, maybe we can get the pre-modernist, the time-traveling guy on the pod to tell us, like, we're going to just slowly go back in time and try to have him tell us if these people would understand what SpongeBob was, like, as a picture. Because there is a point at which we wouldn't anymore. But we've been making cave paintings for a while.
Yeah, but like cave painting, I don't know. I'm sure that somebody in the comments knows
you've
way
disappeared
more.
Again. Okay. No, you're back. I lied.
Okay. I was just saying I know somebody in the comments is going to know way more about this than we do. But there has to have been a point where people actually started drawing faces. Because at least what I've seen of cave drawings as a layperson is like they didn't have faces yet. They were just drawing like stick figures. So, like, when did we start drawing faces? I don't know. I'm going to have to look it up.
That is probably answerable. Let's do some research and we'll come back for it to figure it out. But, or someone in the comments will.
Okay. Well, anything else?
Was that the only question?
Did you want to do another one? I'm just saying we've done an hour and 9 minutes.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, we can be done whenever you want. Holy shit.